I'm Pastor Aaron Winawiski, and one of the things that I've been asking over and over again over the last few months is, where have you seen God at work? And about a year and a half ago, we saw God at work in the heart of Pastor Casey Schiffelbein, our youth pastor. He runs the youth group that we work together with Bethany in order to do on Wednesday nights. About a year and a half ago, he felt like God was calling him into church planting, to start a new church in Marshfield. And that's great, and that's exciting. Anytime that happens, though, you start to ask questions. Well, what are we going to do about the youth group? If we're sending people, how are we going to handle what they were handling? And hopefully we have to ask that question over and over again, because we're going to be a church that sends people. Well, shortly after Pastor Casey shared that, a couple started getting involved in New Day that I didn't make any assumptions about. Folks, don't make any assumptions about people. Also, don't ignore what look like coincidences and assume that those are not ways that God is at work. All right? So this couple became involved. They both happen to have degrees in youth ministries. So, okay, so like you look at that and go, maybe there's something here. But you also don't want to force anything. So they got involved, and they got to know people here, and we got to know them, and they started volunteering in the youth group. And I'm going to make a kind of a long story short. We have seen God at work, and Mark Allen is, as of May 1st, he is Pastor Mark Allen, the youth pastor for our combined youth group. So that's exciting. So where have we seen God at work? When God sends and when God calls, he also equips. And it's been neat for me to see Mark and Rachel get more involved. And I meet with Mark on a weekly basis, and it's just been exciting to see his passion for the youth group. And man, he's hitting the ground running, and he's going to share a message from Scripture with us today. So let's welcome Pastor Mark.
Thank you, Aaron. Well, good morning, everybody. So as Aaron was talking, it kind of made me think about just history and previous events that have happened, and kind of, like, some of these things seem like they're so long ago, and kind of we forget about these things because new things come and they replace our thoughts and occupy our minds. And I always thought that was weird, how when you think back about life, like, you realize this was a major event in history. This major event happened, and then a month goes by, and then a year goes by, and we kind of forget about those events. And it's like, that was a major event back then. Why is it not something we ever think about now? And in preparation for this sermon, I was thinking about all these events that have happened over the past 5 years even. So it's not that long of a time. And if we mention them, we might be like, oh yeah, I remember that. But we never think about them. But they were big deals at the time. A lot of times there were things that had heavy emotional connections to them, whether it's happiness or sadness. It was in the news probably for a good amount of time. But eventually, things come up and it kind of fades away. So I got a little quiz, see who remembers these things. So you guys can raise your hands if you remember any of these things, or if you want to shout an answer here. Does anybody remember who played in Super Bowl 47? This is 5 years ago. 2013, anybody? Not the Packers. So this Super Bowl was the blackout Super Bowl. I don't know if you guys remember that one, with Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers, that big blackout during halftime. That was a big deal. That's not a normal thing in a Super Bowl. It was covered, but we kind of forget about this. You guys remember the Ebola epidemic in 2014. Yep. Do you guys remember where the Winter Olympics were in 2014? Heard Sochi in Russia, yep, that's correct. Does anybody know who won the World Cup in 2014? What's the World Cup? Yeah. That was Germany over Argentina. In 2015, who won the World Series? There we go. Yep, Kansas City Royals, 2015 World Series champions. Just last year even, you guys remember the Women's March in 2017? How big that was. The hurricanes that happened, Hurricane Harvey, Irma, and Maria that happened later in 2017. The Las Vegas shooting in October. So some of these are longer in the past and some of them are more recent. But when I mention them, they probably click right back to your mind. You remember kind of the details of those situations. But they're not in our mind every day. They're things that we forget about and they're things that we kind of let slip back. And I've always wondered, why do we do that? Why are these things that are big deals just distant memories now, and it's only when somebody mentions it that it comes back up? We don't really think about it ever. And last year, at the beginning of 2017, I started this 5-year journal that basically I just write in every day. It has the date listed, and it's on each page. And it has 5 different blanks that you can write in each year and kind of look back at the previous year and see what was happening. So I just started, and now I'm in my year 2, so I'm kind of beginning to read through everything that happened last year. And I'm amazed by how many things I forgot that even happened last year that were like, these are big events. But then I look back at them and I think, oh, this is a great memory. Like, this was a good thing. Or I look back and there's times that I was really depressed and I was really sad. And it's like, oh yeah, I remember feeling that way. But I mean, the history is important because there's lessons that you can learn from history. There's so many things you can look back and see your progression. You can see where you were and where you are now. This is something I don't want to forget about, something I don't want to ever leave. And I wish I would have started this journal a long time ago because it's really cool to look back and see all these things. So when Aaron asked me to speak about a sermon or about a psalm for my sermon, I was brought to Psalm 136. This psalm is very repetitive. And it is a psalm of remembrance. And in every verse, it says the same thing at the end of it. And it's up on the screen. I got it for you. His faithful love endures forever. That's in every verse. So I kind of think this is probably the main point of that whole psalm, if they're willing to repeat it that many times. A lot of people think that this psalm is a call and response psalm where a priest would get up and lead it with this opening line, and the congregation would respond with, his faithful love endures forever. And one thing I think is really important to do before we start is define love and what we're talking about when I say love. And basically, the way I would define love here is choosing someone for their good. Choosing someone else for their good. And it could be choosing yourself for your good. That's loving yourself. I mean, love, that's what it is. You're choosing someone for their good. And sometimes this love costs you. And I want to be clear, too, that this does not mean you just get what you want. Choosing somebody for their good does not mean just giving them anything that they desire. I mean, if you look at a parent-child relationship, the kid comes in screaming, I want to drive the car today. No, you're not driving the car. I want to jump off the roof. Nope, not jumping off the roof. I want candy for every meal. No, that's not good for you. So what is good for us isn't always what we should get. We don't always know what is right. And what makes us happy doesn't necessarily mean it's good for us. It might lead us to ruin. Sometimes discipline and struggle are very important things that we need to learn self-control and perseverance and to grow. So that's what I'm talking about when I say love here, is what is actually good for a person, giving them their good. So in this, in Israel's history, this is who would be singing this. There are a lot of covenants that God made with the people, basically deals he made with them. And in these covenants, he's choosing them. And he's loving them. There are three main sections I saw in this passage as I read through it. And it kind of starts off with talking about God as the supreme being of the universe. The highest being there is. There's none greater. He does great wonders. No one compares to him. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the highest. He's the top dog. No other thing that can be worshipped is greater. No other man is greater. No nation is greater. He is on top. And after each one of these lines, they repeat this phrase. Just imagine the top being in the universe loving you. Saying, I want to choose you for your good. It then turns to creation. And it begins to talk about the sky and the earth and how there's the sun that he made and the moon and the stars. We live in a very big world and a very big universe. Every time I kind of look at how big things are, I'm pretty amazed. But God made it. He has this whole universe that he made, the vastness of it, things that we don't even see, things that we don't understand. So these giant, vast things, all the way down to these little tiny things that are really important to us, like white blood cells and taste buds. God is the creator of these things. And he made them because he's choosing us and he loves us. They're for our good. And this love is faithful and endures forever. It then turns into more of a rescues and redemption part of it. And this section's a little longer. It starts off earlier on, and a lot of these events all talk about things that happened from Genesis till the Deuteronomy there. That's kind of the section that they're talking about, the first five books of the Bible. And the first thing they bring up is when Israel were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves under the Egyptians, and they were made to do their work, and that would have been difficult times. But God had Moses go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Pharaoh is not really a big fan of that at first. So God sent some plagues to convince Pharaoh. And eventually, after the last plague, the one that started Passover, where the firstborn child was killed in each home if they didn't have the blood of a lamb by the door to have the angel pass over that house. The firstborn died. And that was convincer enough to like, get out, go, just go. So they got out, and then apparently Pharaoh changed his mind and decided, nope, okay, I want them back. So he got his army and was chasing after the Israelites as they were leaving. And Moses says to them, the Lord's going to fight for you. You only have to be silent. Just trust him. Israel just needed to follow God, and God would take care of the rest. Because that's his love. He's going to do what's good for them. He's choosing them for their good. So they just need to trust him to do it. So they were pinned between the Red Sea and this army and chariots coming down upon them. And they're in the middle. And they're like, we're stuck. And Moses is just like, don't worry, guys. God's going to fight for you. And God tells Moses, put your hand out over the Red Sea. So he does. And the Red Sea parts. So I know this is a story that probably a lot of people have heard before, but just think about that for a second. This body of water just parting, and you can walk through on dry land. So Israel walks through this, the Red Sea, and makes it to the other side, and while the Egyptians are in the middle, it closes back on them and just takes them out. Pretty decisive victory right there. Then it goes into talking about when they were in the wilderness and they had to go, they were going to take some land, and there were these great kings, these mighty kings. Two are mentioned, Sion and Og. Sion was the king of the Amorites, and Og was the king of Bashan. And talks about how they were able to defeat them. And just a little side thing, I have a funny story about Og. When I was probably about sixth grade, I was in a youth group, and we had this Bible trivia thing that was difficulty levels were like easy to hard. So I really wanted to impress people, so I went in and I took one of the hard questions, and I looked for one that I could memorize easily, and there was this one that said, who had this like 13-foot bed made out of iron? And I looked, and it's Og. So I never heard of that guy before. I had no idea who he was. He just kind of pops up here and in a couple other places. But it talks about him having this 13-by-6-foot iron bed. And some people think this might be his casket, too. But that's pretty big. But I wanted to impress everybody, so I memorized this. And they pulled it out, and they're like, who had this 13-foot bed? And I'm like, Og, I know that. And everybody's like, oh, how'd you know that? I felt impressive for about 5 seconds, and then everyone forgot about it. But these victories over these kings were just little tastes of victory that were to come when Joshua would take over. And once again, it's Israel just needed to follow God, and he would take care of the rest because he's showing love to them. He's choosing them. Victory is found through God and not through ourselves or through other people. It's through God. These verses are all meant to be a remembrance of what has happened in their history. To remember what happened so that you know that God loves you. Whenever Israel might doubt God's love, this is meant to be look back at the past. This is God showing his love to you. It's meant to provoke these thoughts of what it means to be loved by God and how he's shown it. But unfortunately, we can get distracted from these things. We can forget. We can grow apathetic to them. Sometimes they just grow familiar, and it's kind of like, eh, whatever now. It's interesting, too, because next week is Memorial Day. We got a day to remember armed forces, people who died. All these remembrances. But do we actually remember these things and think about the meaning of them? So I was really challenged to think, how has God showed love to me? My history, how do I see God's love in my life? And I have some examples that I wanted to share with you. These are just a few of the ones that I could think of. There's a lot more that's there, but these are some I wanted to share with you. I'm not sharing these because I want anyone to be jealous of me, or I don't want to do it out of arrogance or anything like that, because this is all God's love for me. It's not anything like I did something special. Everyone has different ways that God shows love to them, so what's in my life, you guys might not have, and that's just how it works. But you're going to have things, too, that I'm not going to have. So that's, when I share these things, these are all just my examples of God's love. And they're going to be different in your life. But first off, I want to start off talking about my parents. I have some wonderful parents who today are celebrating their 29th wedding anniversary. So that's amazing. But both of them have been great examples in my life. They've shown kindness to people. They've taught me how to work hard and values that are very important to me. So I'm very grateful to have them be my parents, and I'm grateful to be their child. It's God's love to me that I was placed in that family. When I was 12 years old, I was just this annoying little preteen. And there was this older student in our youth group who, she came up to me one day. She said, "Mark, you know what? I think you're a good storyteller. I think you have the ability to tell stories and speak really well. So you should come and do this summer training with me to do backyard Bible clubs through Child Evangelism Fellowship." So little 12-year-old me was like, "Oh, that sounds cool." And I did it, and I cried the first night at that training because it was really young. But, you know, it was a good experience. And through that training, I learned how to communicate biblical truth to people a lot better. There was a lot of training involved in that. And there was this person, too, who God had led to approach me and step out and say, "I see ability in you, and I want you to come and join this thing." I mean, a lot of people don't do that type of thing. But this person stepped out and did that. So I thank God that he led them to do this. So more time went on. When I was looking for college, when I was in Child Evangelism Fellowship, it sparked an interest in youth ministry for me. I wanted to work with youth and start doing that. So I was looking for a place to get a degree in youth ministry. And I got accepted into Moody Bible Institute. And I thought I was going to Chicago, and they don't have room in Chicago, so they sent me out to their other campus in Spokane, Washington, that I had no idea where it was at the time. It was this little tiny Bible college out there that they had in a church. But while I was there, it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to be in Chicago because I knew friends of mine were going to Chicago. But when I was out there, they had some wonderful professors and teachers that were able to invest in me and give me knowledge and training in how to study and communicate the Bible better. While I was in Spokane too, there was a youth ministry that we got involved in. We had to get involved in some sort of ministry. So I found this church and started working there as a youth leader. And I'm looking around at all my fellow youth leaders, and there was one who was the same year as me. He was actually my roommate. And there was a couple other who were older seniors at the school. So it was all these Moody students who were at this youth group. So I'm looking around and saying, "God, we need somebody who's going to stay here after this year, because I'm going to Chicago, my roommate's going to Chicago, these are all graduating, they're going back to Alaska. Somebody's got to stay here for these kids once this year's over, once the summer comes." So I'm trying to find maybe like somebody else at the school who's going to stay around and join our youth group to help out. And the whole time I'm finding nobody, 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 nobody. And then suddenly I found out, "Hey, Mark, you're not going to Chicago next year. You were never in the program to get you to go to Chicago." I'm like, "Oh, so I'm staying. Okay, I get it." And then when I was at that church, time went on and I applied for the youth pastor position because that opened up. It was going to be a part-time position. And I was up against one other person, so I thought, "Oh, I got great odds here." And I'm going to apply for this. I work with youth group already. It's been a few years I've been doing this. So I basically am pretty sure I'm going to get in. I didn't get it. I was pretty heartbroken. this other person got hired, and that put a lot of questioning of like my worth in there, how much I was valued. And then another opportunity came where that guy had left, and I was about to apply, and as I was praying about it, God was just like, no, don't apply. This isn't for you. You're leaving after your seventh year here. So I didn't apply, and I look back now, and I see that God protected me from a really ugly church split situation that happened there. That would have been even worse for me if I would have been on staff. So seeing God's protection in that situation is him showing his love to me. While I was in Spokane also, I met my wonderful wife, Rachel. And she's been a huge blessing to me. She challenges me and grows me and constantly is pushing me forward, always an encouragement. So it's a blessing to have her be my wife. And then last year, I was kind of looking back through that journal I have, and about a year ago right now, I was in a situation where I felt so discouraged. I was very close to just saying, I'm done with all ministry. I don't want to do it anymore. I had such low self-esteem and such low self-worth. I didn't think I was ever going to have a position where I was going to work in youth ministry. I felt so down and discouraged. But, I mean, here I stand today leading the youth group at Bethany, our church. And it's just amazing to see how God put people into my life who encouraged me, and they saw passion there, and they gave me this opportunity. And there's also the greatest example of God's love that's in my life. And it's the new covenant, the new deal that was made with humanity, because humans are sinful. All of us are sinful. We've all done things that go against God's laws, his will. And the punishment for that sin is death and separation from God instead of having eternal life with him, separation from him. But God didn't want that to be the case. He made a way to change that situation through Jesus. He came and he lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross. And he shed his blood and died on that cross so that his blood can wipe away those sins. And it's through our trust and dependence on Jesus and what he did that those sins are wiped clean. That we go from that death separation position to life and being with him. And it's only through Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can't work it out. We can't do enough work to do it. We can't go to church enough. We can't give enough money. We don't deserve it. We did nothing to earn it. It's God choosing us, saying, I love you. Take this. So some of you maybe already have this faith. That's amazing. And some of you here, maybe you're not so sure about this. And I would be glad to talk to you about any questions you have about this. I know Aaron would be willing to talk to you about any questions you have about this. There's people here you can ask. Maybe you want to put your faith in Jesus today. This wonderful love that he showed us, to have life with him. Because we just need to trust God, and he'll take care of our sin. Because that's his love. So everybody can write this down too. I've got a quick reading assignment for y'all. Take this home. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Just take that home and read that this week. But in preparation for the sermon, I prepared a few, this whole month I prepared just a line, and then there's meant to be having this response of his faithful love endures forever. So I don't really like call and response things, but I've decided to do this because some people might enjoy this. So what I'm going to do is I have a list of 20 things that I wrote out that I'm going to lead out with one, and then I want you guys as a congregation to respond with His faithful love endures forever. Okay? Just as a remembrance for what God has done in our lives. So, give thanks to God, the creator of all things. He creates such diversity and beauty. Creation evokes awe and inspiration. He fills our lungs with breath and gives life. There we go. Give thanks to God for taking us from death to life. He forgives many sins and makes us clean. The Lord provides good gifts for His children. He makes all things work together for good. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He supplies to accomplish His will. He provides His children with what they need. He equips His saints for the work of ministry. The Lord never leaves and never forsakes us. His power is made perfect in our weaknesses. The Lord does not fail. Because God is with us, who can stand against us? When our roads lead to ruin, He is there with open arms when we turn back. None matches the compassion He shows. His mercy is shown each day. He is the God of gods and King of kings. I had Aaron do some too. So there's a few more. These are about New Day. The Lord provided an office space for His children, or for His church, before we even had a Sunday service. He quickly grew our worship services to over 100 people praising Him each week. Over 100 disciples have made the step of being baptized at New Day. We've seen God free people from addictions and habitual sin. For people who are suffering, God has provided loving relationships. For people who felt lost, God has provided direction through biblical teaching. Through disciples at New Day, God has provided fresh water to dozens of rural African villages. Through disciples at New Day, God has provided land to build a church and school in India. God has blessed us so much that we have sent people and resources to help launch churches in 3 central Wisconsin communities, with a 4th one on the way. From the other side of the world to our own backyards, God is using New Day to drive out darkness by sharing the light of Christ. So on the back of your programs, there is a few blanks. And should be 7 there. So if you want to do it this whole week, write 1 a day, you can do that. Just a remembrance of what God has done in your life that shows His love to you. If you want to do more, fill a notebook with it. I mean, keep going with this. It doesn't have to be a short thing. But remember God's love. Because there's so many times that we can doubt God's love in our life. We can be like, God doesn't love me? Does He really love me? But these history events, these events that we can look back on, are proof that God has chosen us and He loves us. He's looking for our good. He's growing us. He's stretching us. So remember these things. These are important to remember, because days are going to come where you question God's love. But that's what this the past is meant to be, is a remembrance, an example to us to learn from. So I'm going to close in prayer. Just pray with me. God, your love is shown to us each day. It's faithful. It's amazing. We thank you that you do this for us. It's not because of us, it's because you chose to. You are the God of gods and the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you show us your love all the time. So help us not to remember or not to forget these things in our past, and to always have them be present in our minds so we know with confidence that you are with us and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.